Welcome again to our back on our tour portions, Kitase. Boy, I tell you what, it looks like these past few days, it's been church, and nothing but church. But it's been great. It's been so much to learn. But we want to get back on the trail where we left off from. Because it's all important. And we're going to see, we're going to get to a spot in the reading, we're going to see where it ties in to Yom Kippur.
So I hope I can get down to that. I'm going to do my best.
Torah portion 49, Kitase, when you go out. And the reading is in Devarim 21, 10 through 25, 19. And the Haftorah is Isaiah, Yeshayahu 54, 1 through 10. The topic is in the portion. This Torah portion focuses on all the laws that deal with honoring all life, wherever you go. 74 of the Torah's 613 commandments, mitzvot, are in this portion dealing with honoring others and all life forms. These include the laws of a beautiful captive, the inheritance rights of the firstborn, the wayward and rebellious son, burial and dignity of the dead, Returning a lost object, sending away the mother bird before taking her young, the duty to erect a safety fence around the roof of one's house, and all the various forms of the kliyim, forbidden plant, and animal hybrids. So that was a lot. Like I said, we say it all the time, but that's so much that we leave on the table. But it's so important, you know, that we go through it, you know, on our spare time and just go through it. Because it's definitely learning. But I want to go back. Not say go back. I'm take that back. We've been reading our Torah portion, and we see where Moshe gets all his information all the time. And go tell the people of Israel. How many of you know Yeshua gives us instructions? He gives us commands that for us to follow. We don't want to say, well, we're doing, like it's been pointed out to all we teach is the Torah. We don't teach Yeshua. So we're going to tonight, we're just going to look at his words. And let's see what he says in the word. So let's go to Matthew chapter 10. Starting at verse 1. And having called his 12 taught ones near, he gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every disease and every bodily weakness. How many of you know that authority, that is G1849, is as exousia. And it's the power that he gives us. Authority over mankind, power of choice, liberty of doing as one pleases. It has so much, when you look at the definitions of it, it goes into a long list of what he gives you authority over. Over sickness. You say, well, over cancer, that's your cancer fighting agent right there, because he's giving you the power. It's up to our faith that keeps us from exercising that authority. He gives you the power. Look, we're about to see right here where he gives it to all his disciples, 12 disciples. And they right here, they're not perfect. They're not all filled with set apart spirit. Acts hadn't even come yet. But he's given them power and authority over every disease and every bodily weakness. Even, you know, if you got bodily ailment, we can go to him. He's got that power. It's in us. We just need to know how to exercise it. And that's what I believe our Torah portion is teaching us. To build our character, to build our faith in what we believe in. If we can't just say it and act it out and not be with us, be in us. You understand what I'm saying? Amen. We got to be able to, you know, not just speak it out, but act on it. Believing in what you're saying and what he's telling us, the power that he's given us. I think this was so important. And these are the names of the 12 emissaries. First, Shimon, who's called Kepha. And Andre, his brother, Yaakov, the son of Zebedee, and Yohanan, his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thoma and Matthew, the tax collector, Yaakov, the son of Alphaeus, and Levi, who also was Thaddeus, Shimon the Canaanite, and Yehuda from Corinth, who also delivered him up. So these are ordinary guys. These ain't guys with college degrees. Probably maybe the smartest one might have been Matthew, a tax collector. But the rest of these are just ordinary guys, ordinary men that he chose. He chose them. And what do you think he's teaching them? He's leading them. He's giving them power and authority over these things. And let me just keep on, because we're going to get to the point here. This is just the opening part of it. Yeshua sent these 12 out, having commanded them, saying, what are we doing when we go out? Now we're going to find out he's giving us command. Because what does Kitai say? When you go out. So let's see what he says. Do not go into the way of the nations, and do not enter the city of the Shemaroni. Why, Master? Because I said do not. That's just plain and simple. When he says something in the scripture, when we read in our Torah portion, when Yehovah says don't do it or don't go to, we should, why? There's a reason. We don't need to question him. We just need to follow him and learn to obey what he says. Do not, but rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, proclaim, saying, the reign of the heavens has drawn near. That as you go is G4198. It's, let me see if I'm going to try to say this. Pur you o mia, me. You can look it up. It's Strong's G4198. It means to depart, go, journey, walk. So you can see this is linked to, back to Kitase, when you go out. So he's giving them instructions, just like no different than Yehovah gives us instructions. When you go out, this is how I want you to act. This is what I expect you to say. Because sometimes we can our words sometimes they come out wrong. So we definitely have to be careful. And as you go, proclaim, saying the reigns of the heaven has drawn near. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. That's a lot that he's given them power over. And like I said, we haven't got to the book of Acts where they received set apart spirit. So where is this power coming from that Yeshua is talking about that we need? I think we need this power. Especially in the time and age in which we live in, we're going to need every bit of it. And we can only get it through what he provides for us, through his word. Without it, what are you going to say? Depart from me, I don't know you. Because what Yeshua makes reference to that. In your name we cast out demons. In your name we've done these things. But he turns around and says, depart from me, I don't know you. That's a scary thing. You have received without pay. Give without being paid. Now we see that's a problem in the world today. Buy my book or buy my teaching. When it would just follow the rules and you would follow what Yeshua said, if you go to Shabbat, you get it without cost. It don't cost you anything but a little bit of time to come sit in his yeshiva and learn and listen. Do not acquire gold or silver or copper for your money belts, or a bag for the journey, or two undergarments, or sandals, or staffs, for the worker is worthy of his food. Now you get out there, when he's telling you to go out, there's things you're going to have to do. You're going to have to work for what you want. Look, you're not going to work for Yehovah and him not reward you or not pay you. Because we're going to see that as we get further down the scripture. You're being paid. Some of us have good health. We don't go to bed hungry. You know, we driving around in luxury. Especially if your AC is working. Or a bag, verse 10, for the journey. Or two undergarments, or sandals, or staffs, for the worker is worthy of his food. And into whatever city or village you enter, ask who is worthy in it, and stay there until you leave. And as you enter into a house, greet it. And if the house is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. Now we're going to touch on that peace in just a little bit as we get a little further down in the scripture. But he's still, look, he's doing the speaking here. He's giving commands. So what do you think his emissaries are supposed to be doing? At least taking notes, if they can write, when we come here. When the word is being delivered, we should at least be taking notes. Or paying very close attention to what's being said. Now this is the master speaking here. And whoever does not receive you, nor hear your words, when you leave that house or city, shake off the dust from your feet. Truly I say to you, it shall be more bearable in the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. You know, there's some people that's not going to receive what we teach here. They're not going to receive what you say or what you stand for. That's okay. But there's some people that will receive it. It might look sometimes like it may fall on deaf ears at times. Like you're not even getting it. That don't stop you from saying it. We should still proclaim. This is what he's telling. Go out and proclaim. This is what he told us. And look, you are not the judge. He is. And we see that. See, verse 16. See, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and as innocent as doves. Now, that serpent, he ain't talking about Hasatan. He's not telling you to be the character like Hasatan. But he's telling you to be wise as serpents. Let me tell you something about a serpent. You don't hear them. By the time you see them, you're right next to it. Well, look, just last week, me and my wife, I was out there and I think I was watering the tree. And look, I come around to turn the water hose off. And right where I parked my boat, right there between the boat and the slab, there was a little copperhead, the one with the yellow tail. I said, now look at you. Now how you got here? He just snuck in on me. Serpent, he sneaks in quiet, subtly. You don't hear him? By the time you see him, he's like he's in stealth mode. So if y'all looking for your little serpent, I threw him in the drainage canal with a smashed head. I'm sorry, some things I just don't do well with. I'm fine with them as long as they're not next to me or next to my place of residence. Well, look, he wants you to be wise as a serpent, but as gentle as dove. That's something that's so innocent and clean. We know this to be a fact because what he said, bring two turtle doves or two pigeons. So you know this is clean or safe. But he wants innocent as them. Because when you see them birds, they just, and they make their little sound. You know, and the dove season comes around, but they're so pretty, you just don't want to. Now you put your gun lays down because they look just so innocent. He said, I send you that. See that verse 16, see? You know, in the Hebrew, that would be re'eh. But right here, this idu. We learned this last week. It's G2400. So you, but it has the same meaning. See, behold. You'll see re'eh, you know, but this is the Greek form of it. But beware of men, for they shall deliver up you to the Sanhedrins and flog you in their congregations. Now we know these things happen to the disciples, and they happen to the prophets before us, our time. We don't see this really too much happening here. But who's to say it won't happen? So what do we do? Well, we have to keep on reading for one thing, because Yeshua is going to tell us what to do on how to act when we go out, when these things happen, when these things take place. But beware of men when they deliver you up. So we have to be always on guard. Remember, be wise as serpent, but as harmless as doves, be gentle. That's why our flesh, boy, sometimes our flesh can rise up quick. And this is why I'm so glad for our Torah portions. And then we learn, because we're learning how Messiah walked. We learn in his character.
Boy, and that's, it's just,
when I sat down at home and I went back and I read this, and it ministers so much to me. When you go back and you look at his words, because that, after all, who are we following? Who are we listening to? And if we're listening to him, then you're listening to the Father, because he's going to point that out in just a moment. And you shall be brought before governors and sovereigns for my sake as a witness to them and to the nation. So you, can you imagine just being coming off of work, off your fishing boat after all day, or from the shipyard, or wherever you're at all day, from down the river, and just come in at the end of the day, and when you pull up, you get arrested.
For what? There you go.
They're coming because you're a witness for him. Can you imagine they just picked you up? And when they deliver you up, do not worry about how or what you should speak. For it shall be given to you in that hour what you shall speak.
What he says, don't worry.
You know, but sometimes fear, if that happened to one of you, or any one of us, fear would grip you right over, automatic.
This is where his word comes in handy. Don't worry about how or what you should speak, but you're one of them.
For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking in you. If you're speaking his words, you're speaking the words of the Father. How awesome. It's his Spirit. Now, you don't see Yeshua say, this is my Spirit. He says, this is the Spirit of the Father who speaks in you. This, after all, what are we trying to get back? What did we learn, our young? What did we lose?
We lost the glory.
And this is the whole point about going through the journey, to get the glory back. Why? Because we need the glory to have the power.
And brother shall deliver a brother to death. Wow. And a father his child. And children shall rise up against parents and shall put them to death.
Now, these are the words of the master.
By the way, he's still doing the speaking. He's still telling us and warning us what to say and how to act when we go out.
And I can't wait till Friday night to hear about when we come in, what he has to say. But right now, as we go out, this is how we conduct our life. Because what we say, what we do, how we act really does matter. When people see us, what do they really see? Do we reflect him? When we look into the laver of our lives, do we reflect him? After all, where was the laver positioned at? If you were here last week, it was right by the tabernacle before you went into the holy place. It was set, because he wanted you to see yourself, because you just can't walk in there any kind of way you want. We learned that. So we need to see ourselves, because it was positioned right there. And we're right by Gerizim and Mount Ebal, right before we enter in. Here we are. We're at the end of Moshe's life. We're at the end of our Torah portion. We're coming down close. We're winding down. But it's so powerful. It is so powerful. Look, I wonder where he gets his information from. Look, if you just push on the little deal right there. In Micah 7:6, where did Yeshua get his information? Father going to be against parents, and parents, the son against the father. Look in Micah 7:6. For a son is despising father. Daughter rises up against her mother. Daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. The enemies of a man are men of his own house. Now we can say that ain't happening today. It's happening right now. We have enemies in our own house. The adversary is in our own household. You don't think we need the power that he's talking about? Brother shall deliver brother up to death. We hadn't seen that yet. But do I believe it's come? I believe every word he said is true. And the father his child, and children shall rise up against parents. Look, last night, it was on the news. Me and my wife and I heard it on the news. This young man, was it last night? Yeah, it was last night. This young man woke up out of a sleep from a nap, whatever he was doing. He woke up, he was so angry, he shot his mama and killed him. They killed their dog right here in the city. I don't know if y'all saw that on news last night. So you can't say this stuff don't happen. It's happening right under the radar, and we don't know about it. I was like, man, how can you wake up that mad? You hate your own dog and your mama's only She was less than 50 years old. That's tragic. And you shall be hated by all for my name's sake. By who? By all for my name's sake. This is what happens when you follow his footsteps. You're not going to be so liked. You're not going to be that popular. Not to the world, not in the world's eyes anyway. I know, I live it. I deal with family. I deal with work colleagues. But he who shall have endured to the end shall be saved. What comforting words. We're going to go through some stuff. But if we hold on to him, does it really matter? I was scrolling through one of my Facebook pages today, and I come across, you know, I try to stick to a lot of the Hebrew stuff and things like that. And there was this one guy, and he was talking about torches back then, how they mortared some of the apostles, things that they'd done. So this guy is doing a little teaching, and he's showing what they'd done back then. How they sawed people asunder. How they put them in this bull and roast them. Or how they just did these terrible things in history. That the scripture talks about what they'd done. We have to endure. And when they persecute you in this city, flee to another one. What? For truly I say to you, you shall by no means have gone through the cities of Israel before the son of Adam come. When I got to that verse of scripture, I thought about our little parish. That's people here in our parish, not just in our parish, but some people don't even know about the word. Some people don't even know this stuff. More or less outside, you know, our district area. I talked to one of my people the other day. I said, because he showed me a picture that somebody posted on Facebook, and he asked me about it. It was about our Yom Teruah service. He said, hey, what is this? Yom, he couldn't even say it. So I told him, I said, it's going to be very hard for me to explain to you what it is. I said, do you know about Joshua and when he faced Jericho? No. I said, well, I don't know how to tell you. That goes to show you, that's people out there that don't know. And when they persecute you in this city, flee to another. Because look, we have a lot of ground to cover. Joshua had a lot of ground to cover. And look, we're no different here today. We have a lot of ground to go, a lot of ground to make up that's been so far behind. Man, I feel like sometimes I just feel like we're that far behind because there's so much to learn. A taught one is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for the taught one to become like his teacher and a servant like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more those of his household? Look, they're going to call you names. Yeshua couldn't, he said it better. Look, if they call me this, what do you think? They're not going to call you names? If they talk about the master like this, who do we think that we exempt? That they ain't going to call you? Look, you'd be called probably worse than Beelzebub. Therefore, he's still speaking. Isn't that amazing? Do not fear them. He's coming. Don't fear them. For whatever is covered shall be revealed. And whatever is hidden shall be made known. Now I see the enemy try to use this. You know, they try to twist it. But we got to leave it, let it says what it says. For sure, I don't want to take the master's words and try to twist his word. He said, in Proverbs, at least you'll be reproved and you'll be found a liar. I dare don't want to do that. What I say to you in the dark, speak in the light. And what you hear in the ear, proclaim on the housetop. Now that's speak in the light. We just had this last week. How are you going to speak in the light if you ain't walking in the light as he is in the light? Amen. That's a powerful verse right there. Because we have to be in the light. Now most of everybody here, I was thinking about this today, this verse of scripture, as I was going over it. When I was a young boy, coming up in my house on Grand Bayou, where I live, when you walk in the house, you didn't flick the switch. We wasn't that modern yet. We were getting there. But you had to go find the center. You had to grab the cord and click to put the light on. So when you're out there in the world and I'm wearing my cords, I want to walk with the light on. Because you never know when somebody's going to grab that cord and say, look, tell me about this. I want to know. Amen. We have to walk in the light. This is what he says. This is what he commands. For us to walk in the light. Now, some of y'all might remember that. I don't know if you had houses like that. But I know when I was coming up, you had to go. He was dark in the room. He had to go find the set of lightning. Pull the string. Turn the light on. He didn't go flick no switch. So I thought about my Zizi, because I had happened that to me. I know the guy thought it was a joke, but he was fulfilling scripture. I was down there at Hillcore, and Mike Alisage, come there, he grabbed my Zizi. He said, boy, let me feel that power. I said, you have no idea what you just said. There you go. Walk in the light, because that's what he commands us to do. And when you hear, proclaim it on the housetop. We're not here to have our light hidden. What good is it going to do? That's what he said. What good if you do if you got it hidden? Nobody knows who you are. You can't self-identify. But if I'm coming here and I got my tzitzis on, like I'm commanded to wear, and he says, children of Israel, put them on. When I'm out there, you look different. And do not fear those who kill the body, who are unable to kill the being, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both being and body in Gehenna. Look, you never know what can happen in this time and day in which we live in. And if something were to happen, let me tell you something. I expect my wife to walk in the light. If something happened to me, a boat accident, or whatever it could be, on the highway, or just plain out, if somebody kills you, like he says in the word here, it's her duty to walk in the light, not to change course, not to say, woe is me, because look, we all have a covering. He's our covering, but we have to walk in the light. It doesn't matter. He said, look, they can only do is kill the body. But you have a hope. We have a promise. That's why we just went through this. Because we know what happened. On the third day, he rose. And the scripture said that spirit that he wrote, that rose Yeshua from that same spirit can be within you. How important it is to learn the word. Are two sparrows sold for a copper coin? Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin? And even the very hairs on your head are numbered. So, Oh, okay, I'm sorry. Are not two sparrows? You know how it is, boy. Sometimes the words just move on you. And not one of them falls to the ground without your Father. He knows all. He sees it. Even the hairs of your head are numbered. Look, he knows every bit about you. So do not fear, for you are worth more than many sparrows. Look, he created you in his likeness and in his image to look like him. How can you see what he like? Well, how do you know what he looks like if we don't open up and look into the labor of the word? But that just like I said from last week, I think about that labor because that's the very last thing they had to see before they went in there to look at themselves, to see who we are and where we're at. Boy, that was so important. Everyone, therefore, who shall confess me before men, him I shall confess before my Father who is in the heavens. But whoever shall deny me before men, him I shall also deny before my Father who is in the heavens. Man, what we have to take note of that, because if we can't get it right now, and if we're ashamed of him now, boy, the day you ever meet him, he'll be ashamed of you. He won't. I know him. I know Eddie. I know Linda. That's what we want to hear, because we're going to get down there. We're going to see what the end goal is. He's going to talk about the goal. He's going to talk about our reward if we're steadfast, unmoved, always abounding in his work. Because we just ain't been put here to be a fly on the wall.
Look at this one. 34.
Do not think. How many times have we heard that? Do not think. Why? Because the master is telling, don't think this way. And I have come to bring peace on the earth. Now, didn't I tell you we were talking about that peace? I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. Now, there. Well, I thought he was about love. Ain't we got a love like Yeshua? Why is he saying this? What is he going mad right here or something? What you mean you didn't come to bring peace? I thought you were the Prince of Peace.
He is.
But you know, when you're not following what he follows, when you're not saying what he's saying, when we're not walking with how he's walking, he's telling, don't think that I come to bring peace. We're going to get to it. He's going to bring a separation, because that sword cuts and divides. And it cuts and divides against family. It cuts and divides against friends, against co-workers. It doesn't change for you and I. It doesn't change for your wife. It doesn't change for your husband. It is what it is. And we have to walk in that light, what he provided for us. And I know this is tough, because Yeshua, what are these words he's saying? Well, if we don't read what Jehovah likes and what he doesn't like, we'll never understand his words. Because that's what he said. Well, I have come to bring division.
Wow.
A man against his father. Well, he could have been a son right there. A daughter against her mother. And a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies are those of his own household. He states this twice in the same chapter. What is he talking about? I thought he was peace. Well, let's look at something right here. Because this peace is the same peace that in Luke. Let me just show you something. Luke 2. Hold your spot right there in Matthew. 2:14. This is what was said about him. And suddenly, back up one verse, 13. And suddenly there was a messenger, a crowd of heavenly hosts praising Elohim and saying, esteem to Elohim in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased. So this was proclaimed about him, peace. But he says back in here in Matthew chapter 10, I didn't come to bring peace. So it would seem that the word is contradicting himself. But it's not. We have to follow what he said, because there won't be no peace. And we're going to see why. A man's enemy is those of his own household. A man against his father. A daughter against her mother. A daughter against her mother. That don't sound like peace. But he's the Prince of Peace. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Notice his words. And that peace is G1515. Irene. These are some strong words. So so he tells us this. When we go out, he gives us all these instructions. And then he says, he who loves father more than me is not worthy of me. Who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy. Look, trust me, we love our children. I love my son. I love my wife. I love my daughter. I'd lay down my life for them. But if you giving more of your time to them than to him, you're not worthy. This is what he's stating. The only real peace we'll find is in him. It's not the peace that the world gives you. Because what the scripture says,